You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I want us to look in the book of Exodus. God gave me a word out of the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Chapter 2, if you can go there with me. Because there's some things that happened around the life of Moses, some things that happened to Moses, some things that happened near to Moses that demanded action. And I want to look at those things. How many have ever been in a situation that it demanded action? You saw something happened. There was something wrong, or there was something right, and it demanded action. You just couldn't stay still, but you had to take action. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, because there's all kinds of different actions we can take when something happens. There's all types of things that we can do when something's going on. But the question is it the right type of response, or is it the wrong type of response? Today I want to talk to you on the subject of the proper response. The proper response. I believe there's a response that God would have us to have as believers that would bring forth the greatest blessing, that would bring forth the greatest fruit in our lives. So let's go here to Exodus 2:11. What is the proper response? Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During this visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. The first thing is, it's about time. Time won't conceal a thing, it will only reveal it. Time. You put something, you hide it there, it's there. You think it's hidden, you think it's out of sight. But guess what? Time is going to reveal that thing. It's not a friend of concealing matters. Time is something that will bring the truth forth, or it will bring the reality of someone's sin or someone's wrongdoings into the full view of everyone. And it doesn't matter how long you wait for some things, they just are what they are. You know, you can try to cover certain things up. The Bible says a leopard never changes its spots. That's why single folk, it's good to date for a little while so you see all the spots before you know what you're buying. Amen. Some things no amount of time will change. How many people were born here in South Florida? This is the crowd participation part. How many people were not born here in South Florida? All right, so a majority of everybody, I don't really exactly understand how this works, but it seems like everybody is not from here. But it doesn't matter how much time goes by, how much time that we live here in South Florida, it doesn't change the fact that you were born in a different place. Amen. So I was born in Atlanta, I was born in Georgia, and no amount of time, I've lived most of my life here in South Florida, no amount of time here will take away from the fact I was born in Atlanta. I can change the way I dress. I can change the way I talk. I can take my southern drawl away. But in the end, some things time just doesn't change. Turn to somebody and say, some things time doesn't change. And there's no amount of anything, living in the palace, dressing like an Egyptian, that could change the fact that Moses was a Hebrew. That was his identity. And I want to tell you, there's certain aspects about your identity that you can accept it, you can reject it, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's the truth. It says in the Word of God that you were bought with a price, that we belong to Jesus. You can accept that, you can reject it, but it's still the truth. No amount of change, no amount of time can change that. Truth has a way of coming out. Turn to somebody and say, I want the truth. Turn to somebody else and say, you can't handle the truth. That's just seeing if you're awake. Just seeing if you're awake. No, let's get back on track. Say, I want the truth. Okay. How do you respond in times of crisis, when a crisis is brought to you? Moses walks into this circumstance. He sees his family being mistreated. He sees his people being mistreated. And he responds the wrong way. When we walk into our jobs, our circles of influence, our world, and we see problems. How many people see problems? You see problems every day. Look on the internet, you see there's lots of problems. People talking about lots of problems, right? But the difference is, how do you address that problem? How you address the problem is just as important. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we lash out when we should keep quiet, or we stay silent, which we should speak up. Are you following me? We have to deal with our response. You know, I don't know if anybody watched G.I. Joe walk when you're young, but they always said at the end, what did they say? Knowing is half the battle. Well, it's great that you know what the problem is, but that's only half of the battle. Actually, to tell you the truth, if you know what the problem is and you don't know what the solution is, that's another problem right there, right? See, there's a lot of problems in our world today because there's so many people. They know the problem, but they have no idea how to fix it. Or worse yet, they think they know how to fix it, and they had no idea. They're making it worse. Listen to this. We need to be in tune with the Spirit so we can respond by the Spirit. We have to be in tune with the Spirit if we want to respond by the Spirit. If we want to have the proper response, we have to be in tune with the Spirit. The problem was, when Moses walked into the problem, into the circumstance, he was not in tune with the Spirit. He responded in the natural. When we respond in the natural, we get ourselves into trouble. Moses sees the problem. He sees the oppression of his people. And he responds by the natural, and he kills. Let me ask you a question. When Moses showed up, was there a problem? Yes. But did Moses respond the way that he should have? No. Natural solutions will get you into murky waters. You know, we have a lot of lakes here in South Florida, and I don't know if I want to get in some of those lakes because I can't see what's in there. Could be fish, could be something nice. Also could be some surprise. Could be a water moccasin, I don't know. It could be something dangerous. But it's murky when we look into the lake. And the enemy wants you to deal in areas that are murky. Because the enemy resides in murky waters. That's where the enemy lives, in murky waters. He wants the decision to be a little bit cloudy with the chance of meatballs, right? He wants it to be confusing. If you have to ask yourself, did I do the right thing? Well, kind of. It's time to take a step back and say, am I in tune with the Spirit? Because the enemy does his best work when things aren't particularly clear. Can I say it again? The enemy does his work when things aren't particularly clear. If things are not clear, don't make any decisions. Don't make any decisions. You know, you ever been in that situation, that high pressure sales situation where you're not sure if you want, I don't know, I'm not sure, it's kind of murky. And I say, but look, if you do it right now, you get the deal, come on, sign on the dotted line. Then later you realize you made the wrong decision because the water was murky. So there are times when things aren't clear. Those aren't the times to make the decision, because everything the Lord does, he gives us a clear path and a spiritual response to every challenge that you face. Listen to James 1:17. It says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." God gives us a clear picture of what's going on. God gives us a clear solution. He gives us clear guidance. It said in the Word of God that in heaven there's no need for the sun because of the brilliance and the luminescence of God. Everything with God is bright. It's clear. This says there's no shadow of turning in him. So Moses, what happens with him? He hides the body in the sand. Okay, he hides the body in the sand. The problem is when you hide something in the sand, you know, sooner or later, right, depending on how the wind blows, it can get uncovered. This is the problem, because Moses hides his sin, his guilt in the sand. And that's what happens with us when we hide what's wrong in our life. When we hide the unsightly thing that needs to be fixed. We hide our indiscretion instead of addressing it. Instead of dealing with it. We think that we can just look the other way, and because it's maybe not obvious, maybe it'll just slide. You know, when I was 16, I had a car and I had this problem. My father was a pastor, and the house was always full of people, and their cars were in the driveway. Our driveway was like a little miniature church parking lot. And so this was a problem, because I would try to go and have a normal life, go play sports and stuff like that with my friends. So it's one of such days, and I was going to go play soccer with my friends. And, you know, they had a meeting going on, and always one of those, like, intense counseling. People are crying and stuff like that. I don't want to get involved in that, right? I'm 16. I just want to get in my car. I just want to go and go play some sports. So I get in my car, and in my wisdom of 16, I think I can probably just back out carefully so that everything is the way that it needs to be. Nobody is in the way. But then there's that inevitable sound that everybody hates to hear when you're driving a vehicle. And you want to close your eyes and act like that just didn't happen. Maybe if we put that in the sand like Moses, it will just go away. We can maybe just, maybe some distance will change. We just drive down the road and some distance will change the fact that something happened. We don't know. We don't even want to get out of the car to see what might have happened. And so it was probably a scratch, right? So, you know, these things that we tell ourselves as teenagers, right? So I just pull on out of the driveway and I ease on down the road. Amen. I'm enjoying the bliss of soccer. How many like soccer? Amen. So, wait, there's not that many hands. How many people like soccer? Okay. All right, good, okay. So, after the soccer game, I get a phone call. The inevitable phone call. The phone call that, you know, your stomach drops. Because be sure that whatever your sin is, whatever your indiscretion is, it will finally come out. How many people, you're not a perfect person, and you tried to hide one of your imperfections at one point in time, right? This is what the scripture says. It says in Luke 12:2, it says, "The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that's a secret will be made known to all. Whatever has been said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever has been whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops." Say it with me. You can't hide sin. Sins can't be hidden. Moses thinks he can hide his sin. Just like Adam and Eve, they sinned in the garden and they thought they could hide their sin. And God comes down, he's like, guys, what are you doing? Did you really think you could hide sin from me? But we do this. We have this thought process that we think, you know what? I can, maybe if I look the other way, maybe if I kind of gloss over it, maybe if, it's not that I'm going to lie about it per se. I'm just not going to mention it. And maybe, just maybe, it'll stay hidden underneath the sand. Turn to somebody and say, you can't hide sin. There's great news. Your sin can be forgiven, but your sin can't be hidden. All right, so what's your response? Turn to somebody and say that. What's your response? Moses' first response is anger. How many people have ever been angry before? You know, felt that feeling. You just wanted to kick that cooler over. You just wanted to knock that cup right off the table. Something just... His first response was anger. He kills the slave driver. Number two, his second response is fear. Next day he comes back to the scene of the accident, scene of the crime. And he's trying to break up a fight. And he finds out that these men that he's trying to break up the fight, that they knew about his sin. And then he found out that Pharaoh knew, and Pharaoh was trying to kill him. And so he flees the country. So his second response is fear. First response is what? Anger. Second response is fear. And here's the crazy thing. Outside of Jesus, most scholars, most Bible teachers believe that Moses was the most powerful prophet outside of Jesus that ever walked the face of the earth. But even Moses missed it. Look at somebody and say, you could miss it. You could miss it. Turn back to the same person that said you could miss it. Say, you could miss it. So that's why this message is for everybody. Everybody. The spiritual powerhouse, all the way down the person that you're just trying to get your flesh in check. What is your response? What is your response? Moses' first two responses, okay? The very next thing that we hear from him, after we hear he's a baby floating on the Nile River, he's rescued by the princess, he's nursed by his own mother and then returned and adopted by the princess, his first decision recorded in the Bible, adult or child, is what? Anger and fear. Anger and fear. How are you responding? How are you responding? If you think about it right now, if you were to close your eyes right now and think about it, there's something, some challenge in your life, some problem that you're grappling with right now. Maybe there's a couple problems. How are you responding? I'm not talking about a small problem in your life. I'm not talking about when the alarm clock messes up and you come in late for work and get chewed out by your boss. I'm talking about the stuff that keeps you up at night. I'm talking about the things that catch you off guard. At work, in relationships, and you don't know what to say and you kind of respond either the right or the wrong way. Difficult circumstances. You know, a few weeks back, we had a tough week in our family. And I had a choice of how I would respond. How I would respond. And I have decided that my response to challenges and hardships determine my future. I've realized this. Regardless of how I respond, the challenges and the hardships will determine my future. And listen, your responses to hardships and challenges will determine your future. You can either sit back and say, man, I had a tough week. boss was on my case, or somebody came to me with a decision and it was a tough decision. We can sit back and say, man, I had a tough week, or we can choose to reframe our circumstance. Look at somebody and say, reframe your circumstance. Reframe your circumstance. You see, I don't know about you, but I serve a God. I serve a God that created the world with his words, and then he made me in his image. So I can open up my mouth and I can reframe my circumstances. So now no longer am I just sitting back and watching life happen to me, but I'm seeing life come at me and I'm reinterpreting life back. Because I have the creative power to reframe my circumstance. And I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today. You have the creative power of God inside of you. The Holy Spirit at work within you to reframe your circumstances. No matter what comes at you. No matter how it comes at you. And when the devil comes at you, you can either say, man, the devil just was beaten on me this week. Or you can say, you know what? God allowed the devil to spar with me this week. And you know what? I'm stronger. I know I'm stronger. Next time the devil comes, I'm going to knock his head off. Because I'm going to reframe my circumstance. I can either respond by the natural and I can have feelings of fear and I can have feelings of anger and I can have feelings of doubt. I can have feelings of being afraid, or I can say, you know what? I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to begin to speak to my circumstance. I'm going to begin to have faith that my God can do anything. And the same God that spoke the universe into motion, the same God that told darkness, get over here, is inside of us to say, darkness, get outside, get out of my life. I need you, darkness, get over here. We need to be looking at our circumstance and say, you know what? I need to organize a couple of things. Just like in Genesis when God said, get land, get over here. Water, get over here. It's time for us to start saying, you know what? Circumstance, get over here. Circumstance, get over. I need you, circumstances, to line up like this. And I speak growth into my life. I speak growth into my life. I speak abundance into my life. I speak harvest into my life. God looked at the world and he saw a void. And he said, I'm going to place some things in that void. Growth, life, abundance, harvest. What did he say? He said, things start growing. Things spring up. Plants spring up. Trees spring up. We need to just start speaking and sowing some things into our life. We need to reframe our circumstance, because let me tell you something. The devil's not going to stop throwing stuff at you. But let me tell you something. When the devil throws something at you, you say, you know what? Boop. I'm going to change this into something else, because the word of God says a righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. And everything that the enemy tries to do, God's going to turn it for my good. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. So that means what you're throwing at me, guess what? It's helping me. You meant it for evil, but I'm speaking the word of God to it, and I'm reframing my circumstance. Will you bow your heads with me today? We serve the God of the impossible, and the devil can't touch you. The devil can't touch you. The devil can't touch you. It's time to begin to rehearse the word of God and begin to reframe your circumstances. It's time to kick some darkness out. It's time to reorder some things in our lives. We have the opportunity to respond by the natural. Things could get messed up. Things could get murky. Things could things are not going to turn out right, or we can respond by the Spirit and speak life, speak manifestation to our dreams. Sow some seeds, water some seeds with our words as we reframe things, because the power of the living God is on the inside of you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.